And let's say you're let's say you have a pornographic addiction. Let's say you're addicted to alcohol or you're struggling with depression and anxiety. Bring those things to the Lord. And you don't have to think like, well, am I in the right state of acceptance to be heard? You confess your sins to the Lord, 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and just to forgive us your sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can cry out to him. Welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and we are continuing our little series on spiritual health. I pray this has been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing for me in preparation to prepare and, serve up some things for you that I think are helpful. So we have just completed that first real big subject on pornography. And let me just say, by reading the comments, and some of you have reached out via email, you've expressed how helpful that is to you. Of all the things that I've received, there's one thing that really sticks out. People are figuring out, I need to be resting in Christ. I need to rest in who I am as a child of God. Sadly, I'm hearing people say, that's a new thing. I haven't heard that before. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me, but it does disappoint me, because that's how we're going to have victory in anything. And so before we tackle another big subject down the road, I want to do a four-part little mini-series on what I call the four talks. I went to Florida Bible College of Tampa here in Tampa, Florida, and this is one of the most profitable things that I learned in the maturation of my Christian life. There are four areas of my life that I should be focusing on every day. And if you just keep those basic things in perspective, you're gonna grow. The motivation for all those things is love, as we discussed in the pornography series, as we discussed in the opening few videos about what this whole mental health, spiritual health series is about. You gotta stay rooted in Christ, and that is rooted in love. I want you to take your Bibles and just join me in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, Jesus is in the upper room. He's having a discussion with his disciples. It's an intimate conversation. In John chapter 13, he washes the feet of the disciples. This is something that was really quite astonishing because, you know, he's the master. You know, they believe he's going to usher in the kingdom. This is the king, and he's washing our feet? That's crazy. We don't get that. But Jesus was teaching servant leadership. He was teaching humility. And he carries on a conversation starting from John chapter 13, going into John chapter 15. And he talks about this principle of the vine and the husbandman and the branches. It starts in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, if you're a gardener, you understand this principle. As a branch continues to bear fruit, when the season is over, you cut it back so that in the next season of fruit bearing, it grows back stronger. It can support more. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I think this is a reference to the fact that the disciples are clean, they're saved, and now they're going on into discipleship. Verse 4 is really, really, really important. Did I mention it was really important? He says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So the key to these four talks that we're going to talk about are the key to overcoming your addictions, the key to having true victory in the Christian life is not, I heard a friend use this term the other day, white knuckling your Christianity. It is remaining close to the Lord. That's what that word abide means. It means to remain. This is not a salvific study. This is a study in discipleship and growth. If you stay close to the Lord, then you're going to bring forth much fruit. See, I think a lot of times people are like, well, I got to start focusing on the results. Like someone who works out or someone who's building a business, like there are milestones that you can track. I don't think there's milestones in the Christian life. There are big accomplishments you'll have, but I don't think there's like milestones of growth. It's just staying connected to Jesus, not holding on to him for eternal life. See, your eternal life has already been established. That's a done deal. That's taken care of. But as far as your daily growth, daily relying on the Lord, that's something you have to choose to do every day. But it's not by your discipline. It's not by, you know, like my friend said, that term is stuck in my head, white knuckling things. It's about this. Stay close to him. If you scroll down a little bit further, Jesus says this in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Clearly, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about staying close to the Savior and being in his good graces, so to speak, walking in fellowship with him. Then he says this in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And here's the commandment, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than to lay than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. This does not say ye are my children, ye are a part of the kingdom of heaven, none of that. This is talking about discipleship. So if we were to apply this to today, Christianity today, here you are, maybe you're somebody who just trusted Christ as your Savior, and you want to grow, and you're kind of looking for metrics and markings and milestones and stuff, put all those things aside and focus on Jesus, and then focus on those around you. Be willing to essentially lay down your life for others. Now, someone say, does that mean I have to go and sacrifice myself today? No, you have to lower this view of yourself in your mind. And I like having these discussions because I think this is where the real work is done. How important do you really think you are? I asked myself this question a long time ago, and I had to come to it was a reluctant change of mind because I was dealing with pride. That was the thing that was constantly setting me back. I thought I was really somebody. I thought I really had talents and skills, and all these things were getting in the way of bearing fruit because I was trusting in myself and my own talent and calling it something that God was doing. But over the process of time, I had to realize I need to lower myself. I need to submit to others. I need to submit to the Lord. Because in my, you know, outwardly, you can have all the accoutrement and make things look the way they are. But inwardly, what's going on? In Philippians chapter 2, we have an example of this. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, we have this example. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. When I see let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, you're not forcing you're not forcing yourself by good works to bear fruit. This says here, lowliness of mind, esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know what this means? Jesus had the proper perspective. He recognized the reality of things. It was not a robbery for him to be called equal with God. That went further, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. He lowered himself. He laid aside that part of him. And being found in fashion as a man, as a result of his humility, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, where that is a curse. He became that curse for us. Read Galatians 3 about that. These are the examples that are set by Christ, which we should emulate, which we should demonstrate. So when you go to church, you know, you're not going to church to show people, here I am at church. When you share the gospel with somebody, you're not sharing the gospel with somebody out of the attitude of, I'm really somebody, you really need me. When you pray for other people, you're not praying and then judging them in their mind. I'm glad I'm not like this person. By the way, go read Luke chapter 18 about the parable between the Pharisee and the publican to see about praying out loud and judging other people. See how that turns out. The real focus should be, Jesus did this for me. He went to the cross for me. He humbled himself for me. Can I not do that for the brother that's stumbling? Can I not do that for the persecutor which seeks my life? Can I not do that for anybody else if he did it for me? Reminds me of a verse in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 32. It's a powerful verse. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the model, and that's the demonstration. So having said that, by the way of introduction, I want to cover this first talk, so to speak. There's four of them, and you may say, well, where's the chapter and verse for these four things? Well, there's no instruction in the Bible to do these four things only, but this was demonstrated to me in a hermeneutics class, and I thought it was really good, and I enjoyed it, and I've been doing it ever since. These are things that I work on every day, okay? The first one in which we'll spend time in this video is prayer. Now, you can look to establish a daily prayer time, or you can be in the attitude of prayer. And what do I mean by the attitude of prayer? Sometimes, I know the way that I grew up, I don't know how you grew up or what your religious influence was, prayer can become very formulaic. And you got to bend your knees, you got to fold your hands, you got to bow your head, you know, and so people think like, well, you only pray when those conditions are good. Prayer is about communication. I want you to think about it as, you know, you're calling God on a cell phone, so to speak. I mean, today, everybody's got an unlimited plan. Everybody's working with unlimited data and all that kind of stuff, no minutes, all that stuff. You have an open prayer line with the Lord, but you need to discipline yourself to do that. Now, there are some scriptures I'm going to read to you here. There's six just off the top of my head that may be beneficial. But when you talk to the Lord, you can tell him what's going on. You know, and this is not in a disrespectful way. Like some people think I mean, hey, God, what's up, man? Like, what's up, bro? All that. And you're like, just kind of, he's just a friend. Think of him as a perfect heavenly father, because that's what he is. He is our heavenly father now. And you as a child can, you know, just like when you were a kid and you ran to your dad. And I know not all of us had great relationships with our father. I'm blessed to have a good relationship with my father and a good childhood. I know that's not the case for everybody. But you can run to your father and tell him what's going on. And he wants to hear. He desires to hear that from you. Let me give you these verses here as a way of encouragement. Psalm 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. This is David expressing as far as the morning time, he's going to talk to the Lord. This is the king. Psalm 141:2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifices. In the book of Acts, chapter 12, and verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. This is called intercessory prayer. And you know what's funny about that? If you go and read the rest of Acts 12, they're surprised when Peter comes out of prison. The little girl, I think her name is Rhoda, I think she hears Peter knocking at the door, and Peter says who he is, and she's like afraid, like it's his ghost, which I just think is interesting. They were praying, but I don't know how much they were believing that Peter was going to be released. But we can pray for others. You know, we do this on our Wednesday night prayer meeting all the time. We open it up to people on the internet. We open it up to people in the audience, and we spend 25, 30 minutes taking prayer requests. And some people have told me, we need to tone that down. It's repetitive, blah, blah, blah. No, no. That is healthy. That's a healthy exercise. We've been taking prayer requests for as long as I've been the pastor, 3 going on 4 years now. And we can map prayers that took a year to be answered, and they were answered. We've seen prayers answered in 1 week, in 1 day. I think that's a healthy thing. Intercessory prayer, praying on behalf of somebody else to the Lord. Matthew 5:44, here's one that I don't think is really popular in Christianity today. Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So how should our response be to those who are our enemies? We pray for them. What's the best thing our enemy can do? Repent. Have a change of mind about Jesus. God can do that. God can work in their life to bring them to that point. It's up to them to make that decision, but we should pray for them. Pray for our enemies. Mark 14:38, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." We need to pray for ourselves to have strength and then to go do the things that bring about strength. Read Ephesians chapter 6, starting there in verse 11, all the way through the rest of the chapter. You have a great demonstration of how we can gird our loins up, so to speak. And then Acts 6:4, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." You know who that's talking about? That's talking about the elders. They had a problem in the church. There was a lot of responsibility. And the elders were saying, "We have a responsibility to pray and minister the word." I take that so seriously as a pastor. It is my job not only to teach the word and prepare the food, so to speak, but it is my job to pray. And if I have a preference for teaching the word, maybe I should just be a teacher. If that impacts my ability and willingness to pray for my people, to pray for those in the body of Christ, to pray for those who are persecutors of the church, then I'm not doing my job properly. So this prayer is you talking to the Lord. It's healthy. It's encouraged. And let's say let's say you have a pornographic addiction. Let's say you're addicted to alcohol or you're struggling with depression and anxiety. Bring those things to the Lord. And you don't have to think like, "Well, am I in the right state of acceptance to be heard?" You confess your sins to the Lord, 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and just to forgive us your sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can cry out to him. We talked about this in the pornography series about sin, when it is conceived, bringeth forth death. And some of us are dying because of our sin. You know, we're mentally drowning. Look up. I mean, Jesus can pull you out of that. In Philippians chapter 4, you definitely know where I'm going with this, but Philippians chapter 4, we have instructions starting in verse 6. "Be careful for nothing." The modern translation of that is, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." If you're sitting there and going, "I'm not worthy, I have an addiction," all this kind of stuff, be thankful for your eternal life. See, this is why I say the gospel is the key to everything. If you understand what's been given to you with the blood applied to your sin payment, that you're a child of God, you can come to the Lord with a thankful heart because he's given you eternal life. He's fully forgiven you, and you can let your requests be made known unto God. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Because of what you know about your salvation, it affects your ability to pray. But you need to pray, you know? And don't let it be, you know, "All right, I'm going to pray for 3 minutes in the morning and then the rest of my day is good." I had to learn how to do this. I love sports talk radio. I like to hear people talk about stuff. I like talk radio in general. As I've grown as a Christian, when I'm driving in the car, I tend to have that playing less over the years. And I'll just talk to the Lord. Sometimes I'll talk out loud, you know, and I'll walk through things. But, you know, I've got a whole ministry that I'm responsible for. I've got people that I'm counseling. I've got family members that are going through things. I myself am going through things with my family. And I talk to the Lord about those things. But whenever I do come to him, if I'm ever angry and I come to him, I'm immediately reminded. I'm thankful that I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back. And I know that he knows me. And that really puts things into perspective. But if you're trying to, you know, in the whole New Age movement today, everybody's, manifest, the universe is for you and all that. Careful. That makes you the God. Trust in the Lord and talk to him about it. I know it will benefit you. So next week, we'll talk about the second talk in the four talks. If you have a question, make sure you send it to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is certainly coming soon. God bless you. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.